lift a shout of praise to God. He is our provider. He has brought us through to today. He has brought us here in this building right now. Praise him. God, you are awesome. We give you praise. Good morning, good morning. My name is Nate. I'm the associate pastor here. Can we give a shout out to our slide team? We had some technical difficulties, the whole production team, everybody. Thank y'all back there every week. Let me just say, we could use your help too. If you're a pro in this area, go ahead and sign up to serve. We would love to have you. But I'm so glad to be here. God has given me a powerful word to share with you. We're in the middle of our series, Money in My Hand, Harlem in My Heart. That's right, today I'm talking about percentage giving. I know that's exactly why you came to church today. Yes, I need a word about percentage giving. Well, listen, I'm gonna make a promise to you. Lord help, this is gonna be a short sermon. Lord help. Because I'm gonna bring up a panel of some others to help me have a discussion about giving. I don't want you to just hear from a pastor. I want you to hear from real people who have been practicing percentage giving for a long time. So that's my promise to you. We're gonna get through that. I'm excited about this. But here's why I'm doing that. I wanna make the word of God plain for you. I want you to understand it, but I also want you to do it. I want you to have, I want you to feel like, okay, I can get this, I can do this. It's easy for me, okay? So are you excited? Let's get into God's word together. We're in Matthew 23. Matthew 23, starting in verse 23. Matthew 23, 23. These are the words of Jesus. It says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel." That's crazy. I love how Jesus says things. Join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this word. God, thank you for bringing us here today. God, I believe that you have a powerful word for some of us in this room. Some of us already know, but we've forgotten. Just like Shanika was saying, we need a reminder. Some of us don't know, and we need some teaching. So God, would you give us ears to hear what you have for us today? Speak to us through your powerful word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. So last week, Pastor Kenny led us starting this series talking about stewardship, okay? And he defined stewardship as the job of supervising or taking care of something that belongs to someone else. Now, how many of y'all were here last week for that message? Wasn't it a powerful message? Did y'all get excited to be stewards of all that God has given you? Well, this morning, I'm talking about percentage giving, but for the next 2 weeks, Pastor Kenny is going to be diving into the transformative power of percentage giving, okay? He's going to look at the power that it has to break strongholds in your life, to break the idolatry and control that money has over you. You think you have control over your money? No, it has control over you. Look, percentage giving short circuits the shame and the guilt that you might feel that I'm not giving too much, I'm not doing good enough. It realigns your heart to the ultimate reality that God is your provider. It makes you better stewards in every other part of your life as well. But listen, our problem isn't that we don't understand the power of generosity, okay? You could go to your social media feed and see all kinds of stories about generosity and just like, wow, a local hero doing this and that. We all know the power of generosity, right? Here's our problem, and this is a message for the Christians in the room. If you're not a Christian, you can just listen in. But for the Christians in the room, we think that tithing, if we tithe, that means we're a good steward. My word for you today is just because you tithe doesn't mean you're a good steward, okay? Just let that one sink in a little bit. It's not a one-to-one relationship. you tithe, therefore you're a good steward. No, no, those don't equal. But before we even get into that, some of you are asking, I don't know what a tithe is. What is he talking about? What is percentage giving? I'm so glad you asked, because I'm going to break it down for you, which leads into my first point. What is percentage giving? What are we talking about? Basically, percentage giving is deciding what you will give to God based on a percentage of your income, okay? It means that you're pre-deciding what you're going to give to God, okay? Before you even get paid, you already know that you're going to give God a certain percentage of whatever you get paid, all right? And listen, this isn't a radical idea, okay? If any of you ever have a 401k or some kind of retirement account, at some point, just think back when you started that job, you signed the contract, and then you signed something saying you're going to put 4% into a retirement account, okay? And it just happens. Every paycheck, 4%, boop, goes to retirement. You get a raise, guess what? 4% of that goes to retirement. You get another raise, guess what? 4% of that goes into retirement. Maybe you don't have a 401k. You experience this all the time with taxes. Taxes know the power of percentage taxation, right? Okay, you get 12% of your pay taken out for this. 5% taken out for this. 0.005% taken out for this little program that just got passed by the Senate. Okay, we understand percentage when it comes to taxes. I'm talking about it when you're giving. Now, in church, if you've been around church before, you've probably heard the word tithe, okay? And listen, unfortunately, in church, we don't use this word correctly. We use it like Kleenex, like give me a Kleenex. We mean a tissue, okay? But just because it's a Kleenex doesn't mean, or just because it's a tissue doesn't mean it's a Kleenex. It could be Puffs, all right? or another brand, I don't know. But listen, we use the word tithe for all kinds of giving, but that's not what it means, okay? I'm going to educate you a little bit. Percentage giving, this is the big idea. Percentage giving, remember, is deciding to give a percentage of your income to God, okay? The word tithe means literally a tenth or 10%. That's what the word means, okay? So tithing is deciding to give 10% of your income to God. Okay, does that make sense? So if you ever hear somebody at church say, oh, I tithe 11% to God. No, you don't. You practice percentage giving at 11%. Okay, if you hear someone say, I tithe at 15%. No, you don't know what words mean. You're practicing percentage giving at 15%, okay? Turn to your neighbor. Tell them a tithe is 10%. Okay, now turn to your other neighbor and tell them a tithe is a tenth. You got it. Okay, now, listen, I don't know. We're still going to use this word wrong. I don't care, but I just want you to understand what we're talking about here, okay? Percentage giving is deciding to give a percentage of your income to God. Now, the reason we talk about this so much is because the word tithe is in the Bible a lot, okay? You might be asking, where is this in the Bible? I'm so glad you asked. That leads me to my second point. Where is percentage giving in the Bible? The first example we have is from the patriarch Abraham, or Abram, in Genesis chapter 17, verses 18 through 20. He says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought up bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Okay, so here Abraham had gone through a difficult time. He had fought a battle and got all the spoils, okay? And he decided to honor God by giving a spontaneous offering to Melchizedek, the priest of God, and he decided to give a tenth, a tithe of everything, okay? Abraham's grandson, Jacob, he also does this in Genesis 28. He says, then the Lord will be my God. This stone I've set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, God, I will give you a tenth, a tithe, 10%, okay? God made these promises to Jacob, and Jacob takes God up on his promise. He said, God, if you do all the things you promised to me, I'll give you a tenth of all that you give me. Now, this is an example. These are just spontaneous gifts that Abraham and Jacob gave to God, that they just decided to give. And it says two things. We're kind of setting the mold here for what giving is all about. Percentage giving, often a tithe, it says two things. It says you're honoring God as your ultimate provider, who gave you the stuff in the first place, and two, you're trusting God with the remaining 90%. Okay? That you're still going to be able to live and pay your bills and eat and all those things. So, Abraham, Jacob, they're setting the mold, okay? And then the next example that we see is when God institutes this tithe, not just as a spontaneous thing, but as a part of God's law, okay? And this is to provide for the temple worship, national community life, and to provide for those on the margins, okay? Let's look at Leviticus 27, verse 30. It said, God is giving his command. He says, a tithe, 10%, of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So basically, there was a percentage, 10%, from the people that would provide everything for those things I mentioned, the temple worship, the community life, the people, charity for those on the margins, and specifically, the 10% that went to the Levites. Those are the people that God had chosen to serve him in his temple. And unlike the rest of Israel, they didn't get an inheritance. They didn't get any land, which meant they didn't have any crops, which means they didn't have any herds, which means they didn't have any money. Their honor was to serve God in the temple, but they didn't have any money. So God set up a system so that everyone else would give 10% and it would provide for all of those things so that they could have temple worship. And we get a clear example of this in 2 Chronicles chapter 31. When Israel had stopped doing this, they quit doing it, the temple was not working right, and King Hezekiah comes around and brings about a revival and gets it back together. In 2 Chronicles 31, verse 4, it says that King Hezekiah ordered the people living in Jerusalem to give the portion due to the priests and Levites so that they could devote themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the order went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, olive oil, and honey, and all the fields produce. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. So now they're tithing, and now temple worship is happening again. People are able to offer prayers. They offer sacrifices. The incense is going up. The prayers of the people are going up. The musicians are there to lead the people in worship. Now, let me say a quick word about something in this passage, the word first fruits. It says they brought the first fruits. Now, this has to go back to, they're in an agrarian society with harvest season, all right? And they're bringing the first and the best to God. So at the beginning of the harvest, the first harvest you make, you give that to God. It was the first because they're giving God first, not the leftovers, okay? And second, it's the best because God is worthy. He is the one who has provided the harvest for you. So you're giving the first fruits. Okay, so we've gone through the Old Testament. Sounds pretty straightforward, right? No, I'm going to make it real messy because it gets super complicated. And listen, I'm just going to tell you all this so you know the Bible talks about this. You don't have to totally get it, but I want to let you know about it. Okay, remember, 10%, one tithe, was going to the Levites, okay, for temple worship. All that was happening. But there was also another tithe, a totally separate 10%, that was supposed to go to the community life, okay? They had all these yearly festivals. Every few months, there would be a big festival. Come worship the Lord. We'll have a big meal. It's going to be a party for a whole week. Okay? They had a whole tithe for that. And then there was another tithe, another 10%, I know, for all of the charity and generosity that the community would do. Okay? Now, I know what you're thinking. They're like, okay, 10 plus 10 plus 10, 30. 30%, right? No, actually, because the first tithe and the second tithe, they were every year, except the seventh year, because they went on a seven-year cycle. So on the seventh cycle, you didn't, or the seventh year, you didn't give any. And then the third tithe, actually, it's kind of unclear. It might have taken place of the second tithe, but you only did the third tithe on the second or the third year and the sixth year, and again, not on the seventh year. Are you confused yet? That's okay. I think we got a slide for this. Basically, there's a three-tier system, three-tier tithing system, okay? The first tithe, 10% for the Levites, okay? The second tithe, the festivals, okay? And the third tithe, every third and sixth years for the charity. The seventh year, no tithe. I've never heard a preacher talk about that. Every 7 years, no tithe. We can talk a lot about that more later. Okay. Basically, if you do all the math, turns out that in ancient Israel, God was asking the people to give somewhere between 17 to 23.3% of their income over 7 years, each 7 years. Okay. So, you don't have to understand all of that. Here's what I want to communicate to you. Percentage giving in ancient Israel was created to have a system that would provide worship, community life, and for those on the margins. Okay, that's what it was about. I want you to understand where this comes from in the Bible. And I also want you to understand why we always talk about tithing. Because if you go to the New Testament, you know, the part that talks about following Jesus, it doesn't say we have to tithe. There is no law anymore. We follow Jesus. There is no law to tithe. So why are we talking about this? So glad you asked. Point three. Why do we practice percentage giving as Christians? It's a good question, okay? Like I said, as Christians, we don't live under the Old Testament law anymore. Jesus has given us what the law could never do, total and complete forgiveness of our sins. Okay, that means we don't need sacrifices at the temple day after day. We don't need to bring in a lamb or a goat and sacrifice them and ask God to see their blood and forgive our sins for that. No, no, no. Jesus has done that. Hebrews 10:10 says, "We have been made holy without sin through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." We don't need a temple system. We don't need priests. We don't need sacrifices and offerings. Jesus' death and resurrection for us is the ultimate sacrifice that truly atones for our sins forever. Amen, somebody. And this is why generosity is different for Christians, okay? We're not trying to get something from God. We are responding to the undeserved grace that God has already given us, okay? Any teaching that treats giving like a one-to-one relationship with God, like I give God something and he has to give me something back, nope, where heaven is some kind of vending machine, you input the money and God gives you the blessings, the offerings go up and the blessings come down, wrong. That is wrong. Why? God's blessings have already come down in the person and work of Jesus. He lived the life to show us how to live. He died the death we deserve to die, and he raised from the resurrection to give us new life. And he poured out his Holy Spirit on all who believe, okay? So listen, we give, we are generous because God has been so generous to us. Does that make sense? So again, why are we talking about tithing and percentage giving? What does Jesus have to say about this? Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of spices, mint, dill, and cumin." Okay, 10 little clips, 9 for me, 1 for God. That's what they're doing. "But you have neglected the most important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You have practiced the latter." You should have practiced the latter. Tithing is still good. "Without neglecting the former." It says, "You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel." You think you're doing it right. You're not. Listen, Jesus doesn't denounce tithing. He doesn't say, oh, that's the law, throw that away. But he does denounce these religious leaders who are trying to be so righteous when it comes to the teeny tiny little self-righteousness parts, okay? The garden herbs, but they're neglecting justice, righteousness, faith, mercy, those things that affect people, okay? Jesus says they should have still tithed, but not neglected them. You see, Jesus, he's calling us to a different kind of tithing, okay? Not tithing that follows the sometimes very complicated law system. It's not tithing that tries to get righteousness from God or show how righteous we are, okay? It's not tithing that ignores weightier matters. Pharisees were, they were doing a part of it, but they weren't doing the whole. Here's what I want to say. Jesus calls us to holistic stewardship. Holistic stewardship. He cares about the money, the tangible part. He also cares about the intangible part. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. Have you all heard the vision of the Gathering Harlem, of this church? Say it with me. A Harlem where everyone is unified and dignified because justice, love, and mercy are present. Where do you think Pastor Kenny got this stuff? From the Bible. This is why, listen, this is why I hope you can feel confident giving to the Gathering, okay? Through percentage giving, we're trying to live out holistic stewardship. Okay, I'm going to keep going, but I want to go ahead and invite those who are getting our panel ready. Go ahead and come up. Our panelists, you can come back here to the side and get ready. But listen, when you give to TGH, hopefully any local church, it maintains and strengthens worship, okay? It strengthens community life, and it provides for the marginalized. It's just like the Old Testament system, but this time, it's completely free will offerings from good stewards. It's not a law or a system put in place. So, does tithing mean that you are automatically a good steward? Come on up. No, it doesn't. Yes, y'all been listening. Exactly. It does not mean you're a good steward. Does practicing percentage giving mean that you practice holistic stewardship?
No.
No. But hear me. For most Christians, this is foundational and a fantastic way to practice holistic stewardship. All right? Honor God as the ultimate provider. Help provide for worship, community life, and for the marginalized. But don't think that just because you give to the church means you don't need to worry about righteousness, justice, faithfulness, and mercy. All right? So, I've given you all that teaching. Now, I want to make it practical for you. My fourth point, how do we practice percentage giving? Okay, so I decided to do this because, like, I can give you a bunch of points as a pastor, but let's get practical, okay? So let's welcome our panelists out here. Come on out, y'all. Let's clap it up for them. Look at these beautiful people. All right, so I think to start out, can you just say your name and how long you've been at TGH? I'm gonna start with Ty.
Amen. My name is Ty, and I've been with TGH since 2018.
Good morning. My name is Jenny Pichardo, and I've been with TGH since 2018.
What's up, y'all? My name is Kai. I've been with TGH since, 2017?
Yeah, let's welcome them. So, as you know, Ty is our worship leader, and she is passionate to talk about generosity. Anytime you start talking about it, get ready. She's just going to pour out of her. I know Jenny and Kai, they're both new members of our finance team here at TGH, both very passionate about that. So that's why I've invited them to be up here. But basically, I'm asking them two questions. The first one is just when and how did you decide to start tithing or practice percentage giving? So let's just answer that. Anybody can go first with that. When did you start, and how did it go?
So I grew up in a Christian household, and so I still remember the first time my pops told me about tithing. I was like 10. I had just gotten a summer job. I was working at a summer camp watching little kids and stuff like that, and I thought I was special because I was getting a paycheck. Or I guess it was under the table, it was cash. But anyways, so I remember he was like, yo, like, so you gonna tithe that? And my dad had a habit, I love my dad, but he would just use words that I had never heard before and act like I was supposed to know what they meant. He's like, so you gonna tithe that? And I was like, a what? He's like, you know, you're supposed to give 10% to the church, to God. And I was like, oh, we're still supposed to do that. I thought that was like an Old Testament thing. So I grew up in a household where that was a thing, where you made bread and like there was a habit of giving it to the church. But it was more of a habit for me. I never really felt like there was a heart posture behind it. I was just doing it because I had to. And I was a kid. I wasn't really buying nothing. It wasn't like I was losing a whole lot. That changed when I started going to college. So in college, now I'm on my own. By God's grace, I got a full scholarship. So I didn't have any tangible needs that needed to be covered. But I was making money here and there. And so now there's this question of, I'm accountable to myself to be given this bread. The challenge for me with college was, like I said, all my time, my money, everything, I could manage it. And I, without knowing it, had bought into this narrative that I needed to accumulate as much bread as I could and be as productive with my time constantly. And so that was a time where God was really deconstructing that and reconstructing instead a narrative of, God owns my time, God owns my finances, I can trust him with these things. And so in that time is when I started practicing not only tithing, but Sabbath, which is another conversation for another time. So long story short, I started doing that, and then when Dom and I got married, we actually started getting to the talking, like, how much money are we going to give? And so now we have it in our budget where we're trying to give consistently on a regular basis. So it's kind of been a journey, but that's kind of all where it started.
Awesome. So good.
Church, you should know that I hate public speaking, but I knew that I couldn't say no to this, so I know God has things to do. So please excuse me and have grace with me and share my story. But I'm 44 years old, and I was born and raised in church, left the church at 18 because I wanted to do my own thing. I thought the rules were too much for me. And through that time period from 18 to about 33, when I came back to the Lord, he was pursuing me. I also knew about tithing because I grew up in church, but I was just like, it's okay, I'll give to charities, I'll do this. And then God snatched everything away from me and broke me. Wow. He took away my job. I was a single mom at the time. I was a Wall Street broker. I was making very good money. And he was like, no more. No more, done for you. I was upset with God for about 2.5 years. And my son at the time was going to parochial school. And I had to remove him from the school. And it was a Christian parochial school. And he asked me to still take him to church. So I would go to church, I would sit there, listen to the message, and then one day, I say 33 was the year that my life changed, because it's been 11 years I've been with God. It was, God spoke to me, and I was like, you know what, I'm done doing it my way, I'm going to do it your way. And when I said that, it meant everything. I lost my apartment, and I couldn't be upset. I lost my job, and I couldn't be upset, because I knew that God had a reason. He made me stop dating my boyfriend at the time, and I couldn't be upset because he's my husband today. I love you. but in that time period, I would say at 33, I started going to Sunday service and just learn and get more into the word to truly understand what God wanted from me. And I realized money was my God at the time, so I needed to switch that. I needed to switch it, so everything that came through, I was unemployed again. So unemployment ran out, my friends were giving me money, my family were giving me money, and everything that came through, I was like, I'm just gonna give back the 10%. So everything, wow. Even if rent was short, God showed up and paid everything. So That's when I decided, and I have not regretted it one day in the 11 years that I've been with Jesus. So.
Oh, that's so awesome. Right, Ty?
Much like Kai, I grew up in a Christian household as well. Going to church, my parents would put money in my hand to make sure I could give to the Lord. So giving to God was a concept that I embraced as a little girl. And I tithed when I started working, like in my 20s. My mom, too, was like, you're going to tithe 10%. I'm like, okay. But at some point in my life, the Lord stripped me down as well. And like down, single mother as well. And I legit could not. And I think this is where Nate is talking about the guilt and the shame of not being able to. But I knew, though, based off of what my mother always said, you don't go into the house of the Lord and not give something. And so even in my stripped-down state, I decided that I was going to give the same amount every week, no matter what. And the Lord, 1,000%, he provided. Like, I can't explain how I made it in those couple of years. Because I was on unemployment. I was on unemployment without the stimulus. So I had A1 credit and that joint went down. And I was like, what is going on? But because I made a decision in my heart to give consistently, and when he brought me into the next season of my life, tithing, there was no question for me because it was a matter of my faith. And I didn't want... I'm determined, even though I'm faced with fear, to live by faith. And so once I got out of that season, I went back to tithing. But then a question popped in my mind and was like, wait, am I supposed to be tithing my gross? I'm tithing my net.
Uh-oh.
That part. Yeah. So like, I'm tithing my net and I'm like, okay, well, since I want to live by faith, I'm going to tithe my gross. And listen, like he said, when your net is smaller, that's a smaller percentage, but your gross is bigger. You're like, but I don't even see a good 1,000 of that. I got to tithe on that? Jesus. But I did because I was like, no, I'm going to live by faith. And I have seen the Lord just increase literally every year. Just remaining faithful. And even I tithe everything. So when someone gifts me, I actually tithe that. Technically, we don't have to tithe our tax return. But because I know still the Lord gave me that, I tithe that. I don't miss an opportunity to tithe because I do know him. Literally as firm foundation. I know him as giver. I know him as healer. I know him as the keeper of my finances. When it doesn't look right, I tithe, and I'm telling you, he shows up every time. So that is a decision that I've made in my
so
heart.
Good.
Amen.
Yeah, I want you to see, like, there's the, like, oh, I'm just going to give this certain amount every week. You can start there. You can also start with, you don't have to do a full tithe, do a 1%, 2%, whatever you can do to help you get into, because you hear a lot, it's about your heart. It's about your faith in God. And our second question is just we've answered it a little bit already, but how has tithing, percentage giving just changed your life and your faith?
So, Jenny, when you talked about money being your idol, I related to that heavy. And I think it was particularly because, like I said, I grew up in a Christian household, so I grew up seeing my parents faithfully tithe, but we also were struggling a little bit. And so I also grew up with a fear of not being in control financially. And so, like, when I got older, it was like this weird tension. It was like, okay, on the one hand, God, I've seen you provide, But I don't like this feeling of not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow, like that sort of uncertainty, that instability. And the thing I love about tithing is that it constantly keeps my idolatry in check. And I think it constantly forces me to reflect on the narratives that I'm internalizing. And I think the most challenging one for me personally has been the American dream. The American dream is, especially when separated from God, is all focused on accumulation, all for myself, by any means necessary, at whatever cost. So much of the stuff that's wrong with our world, wrong with our country, comes from that mentality. By any means necessary, right? But it ultimately is rooted in fear. I realized I was pursuing this accumulation because I was motivated by fear. As a result, I'm willing to neglect the people around me. I'm willing to neglect the earth around me because of that. That's our culture is constantly talking that way. And so I think the tithe is like a very tangible thing I can do on a regular basis. It's like, no, I'm not going to buy into that. This is one way in which I say that stops here. And it reminds me, makes me constantly reflect, what are the other ways in which maybe I've bought in to this lie that aren't aligned with God, that, you know, that I'm not even aware of it. It also helps me, I think, be more aware of my blind spots. And so it's still a journey for me. I'm by no means there. But that constant reminder, that constant conviction, I think, has been a huge part of my life. And as God just continues to take me on this journey of what it means to be generous, what it means to be God's kingdom, and be a community where no one needs to be in need because we're so generous with each other. So I'll leave it at that.
That's good. That's so good. So good.
I will say the impact of tithing for me, I said it already, I will never, ever go back, you know, regardless of if I am working, not working, whatever comes through my door, first fruits will go to God. Amen. And I wanted to touch on what Nate said earlier. My belief has been, I listen to a lot of preachers, whoever knows me knows that. I listen to a lot of sermons, a lot of worship songs, and that's how God speaks to me. And Mark Driscoll said, it's better to be 90% with God and 90% with your income and have God in it than 100% of your income and no God in it. So I encourage every single one of you, if you are sitting here and you're listening to it and whoever's listening to it on the internet, God has a purpose and he has a reason. Check what you're doing with your money, because it is about doing well here on earth and showing God's glory, right? And Kai just said the American dream. I'm living the God dream right now. Okay.
Let's go.
I shared that I went through a period or a season of homelessness. I was unemployed, everything. And right now, and I had to leave my boyfriend and look at me now, okay? Married 8 years, soon to be 9. We live in our home of our dreams. Which everyone is welcome to at some point. So just trusting God and putting God first, even in my marriage, even in my raising of my kids. My son is 21 years old. He's alive. He's beautiful. He's gorgeous. And God is going to call him. My beautiful daughter, Abigail. She is amazing young lady of God, chasing after God's heart, and she was a product of God's love and God's dream for me and for us. So I really encourage those that are, if you are finding yourself in a season of unbelief, like the song says, oceans, walk that water, do not look to the side, keep on looking at Jesus, and you will see the end goal. For me, it felt like last year was my year of homelessness, and I'm living it out now. Wow. So I'm always in awe of what God is doing. And then finally, I will say just the firm foundation, because the song played in my car this morning and we sang it. And you know how buildings are built in the city or anywhere, right? You need a firm foundation. When you are building a tower and you're gonna go from level to level to level, you need to go deeper in your foundation. So make sure your foundation is firm in God, so that as they dig deeper, you are not wavering, you are not moving, you're able to be a skyscraper and give unto the kingdom.
So good.
I'm done.
Yeah. Y'all are just getting a taste of the testimonies.
I do want to say, though, that if you are in a season that you cannot tithe, the tenth is like, it's okay, but be led. Because if you just say, I can't tithe, but I'm just going to give 1%, if it's not activating your faith, if 1% or 2% is not activating you to believe God, then you got to up that. Be led by Holy Spirit in everything that you do, because you want heaven to back you. You understand? So for me, tithing, it affects my faith. We can't even live the Christian life without faith. It takes thinking beyond your natural mind to tithe. It takes, you know, you talk about budgeting, and you can go to your account first and say, I literally cannot. No. The enemy would want you to stay functioning based off of what you see, because he knows what will not be activated in your life by allowing your lack of faith to lead you instead of the Word, the Holy Spirit, your relationship with the Lord. I do believe in Malachi 3:10, bringing all the tithes and the offerings to the storehouse, right? And he will open for you windows, right? But the next verse we don't ever read, it says, I will rebuke the devourer for you. And so I've needed, listen, we don't know why people in life end up having like theft, what is it, like identity theft. There are things that happen to people that are unexplainable. I don't understand how someone can tap into my account and just steal my money, right? Things happen, but to know that my tithe places the protection and the covering of God on my life, that even if something is taken from me outside of my control, God will still provide. It breaks off the fear. It breaks off the strongholds. Being able to, and listen, if you are dealing with and come from a bloodline where your family never has, poverty, lack, you just can't ever seem to get out of this whole tithing and even giving above the tithe. Because for me, tithing, there's no thought to that. It's the above the tithe where I even see more of God activate his faithfulness in my life and increase in my life. And so, it's not just tithing, it is above. And your giving can be of your time, it can be food, it can be clothes, it can be whatever the Holy Spirit is leading you to give. But I am in a season, I refuse to allow the enemy to have any part of my life, not knowingly, right? So if I know that I'm not tithing or I'm not giving, is going to allow him to now. Because here's the thing, when you allow fear in any way to take place, you are giving him, you're giving the enemy access to really plant and solidify unbelief. I don't want to do it, not knowingly, right? There are things we don't know, but so tithing for me, it's a faith walk for me. It is declaring that he is Lord over the 90 and the 10, that he is my father, he's provider, he's healer, he's everything, but that's just the life I have declared I'm going to live, so.
Oh, that's so good. And I want to highlight, Kai, you were talking about the American dream. We got to remember what the American dream is. It's built on 400 years of stolen labor. Okay. disenfranchisement of people of color, mass incarceration, even to this day. And then I love how Jenny talked about, you know, you might think about the American dream like, you know what, I'm going to hold on to my money. Thank you very much. But Jenny is telling us we're living a God dream. And the God dream speaks to the decades, the centuries of injustice and says, we reject that and we're going to share. We're going to be generous. We're going to give. Does that make sense? Like the radically different way of living. And I'll share a little bit for myself with tithing. I've tithed my whole life. I'm a pastor's kid, so same thing, you know. You get some money from doing a little job. Oh, you get a tithe. Okay, all right, whatever. But I'll say, like, even this past year has been, the past couple years have been very financially tight for my wife and I. And we still tithe. And it's, I mean, like, we are trusting God with that 90% and giving it, like, right when I get paid, giving the tithe, like, Lord, I don't want to give this. Because there are very real, we got a budget, and I know what that money would pay for, that I want. But I'm trusting God, like just like Ty was saying, like it's a faith move, everything that she was saying. You're trusting God with that. And yeah, it's been tough, but, you know, God is faithful. And, you know, I even think about my parents. Like I said, they're a pastor. My dad's a pastor, and they, growing up, you know, it's not like we were rowing in the dough or anything like that at all. But my parents are very faithful in their giving, and towards the end of their work life, my mom got a job at, you know, the last, like, 10, 12 years of her career. Not something, it was just a, like, with a random company, wasn't something she was been working for her whole life, ended up getting a great pension. Wow. That is now, like, providing for my parents to be able to retire and live well. And my mom says all the time, you cannot outgive God. Because they were giving their entire life. It's a word for me. Sometimes God's blessing might not come for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Do you trust him that it will come, that he does have a plan for your life, that he is your ultimate provider? Amen? All right, can we? Yes, please.
Sorry.
No, please.
He prompted me. God's blessing may not come for a while, but it may also not come in the way that you imagine it to come.
Oh, that's so good.
So just remember, whatever you're praying for and God just lays it out before you, it may not be exactly what it is, but you take that and you make it into what God wants, because he does have hopes for you, right? He has dreams for you and promises for you, and God does not lie.
So. Oh, that's a whole word right there. Can we give it up for our panelists? Say thank you to y'all. All right, yep, you guys can step
Thank you,
off.
Guys.
Was this good? Yeah. Now listen, they just got started. You just got a little peek, okay, of their testimonies of all that God has done in their lives, all the things that they just gave you a little hint. So hopefully you can talk to them later. You can get the full story. This is good, y'all. Talking about money, but it's good. And we're going to have an altar call, as we do every Sunday, because I want to recognize that giving is a spiritual decision, okay? listen, you got to budget, you got to figure out, you got to look at all the numbers, you got to decide, all of that. But like our panel was saying, it is a spiritual decision, okay? It is about, it's a faith move that you are trusting not in, some intangible thing out there. You're trusting in a person. You're trusting in Jesus, okay? So I want to make a call. Some of you, you have never heard about this before, tithing, percentage giving. This is just like totally new for you, okay? You have never, pre-decided to give anything. And that's great. But I want to invite you to receive prayer for wisdom on what to do next, what God might be calling you to do. Deciding to tithe shouldn't be flippant. It shouldn't be legalistic, okay? And it shouldn't be a quick decision either. You don't got to make this decision today. I want you to pray about it. So I invite you to come to the altar for prayer. Some of you are like Israel, okay? You know what tithing is. You know what percentage giving is all about, but you've forgotten, okay? Remember, like the Israelites, they quit tithing, and then the temple system fell apart until they got back on it again. Maybe you've forgotten, and God is calling you back into percentage giving. Again, don't just do it. This is a spiritual decision. I invite you to come to the altar for prayer. And some of you, you can't even think about tithing or giving. You're sitting this and like listening to all of this and like, yo, I do not know about this. You are in a difficult financial situation right now yourself, okay? And I want to say that is okay. There is never, ever an obligation that you have to give here at TGH or at any church, okay? Maybe you need some prayer to trust God to provide for you. Our prayer team is available. We would love to pray for you. So prayer team, can you go ahead and come up? Won't you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for being our ultimate provider. God, thank you for being so generous to us. Thank you for giving us this model of tithing and percentage giving. But God, we need your help. Money is complicated. There's a lot of issues that all of us are facing every single day. Bills coming up. Bills coming out of nowhere. How the economy is doing right now. What a war on the other side of the world is. How is this affecting our food prices? God, we need help. God, would you meet us this morning? Would you help us decide how we're going to give? Would you help us decide how we can trust you? Thank you for being trustworthy in all things, including our finances. God, would you make us good stewards? Would you make us holistic stewards? God, continue to speak through this entire series. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.